Good morning, everyone. I'm going to come to you today, share a few words from my heart. Actually, it's just a beautiful day today where I'm at. The sun is shining, but my heart is heavy this morning. And I want to share with you why my heart is burdened. I don't know where to start. I'm crying tears. Yes, last night. Let me just start here. Last night, before going to bed, I got on Twitter for just a few minutes, and I saw something on there that, frankly, I wish I hadn't seen. It broke my heart. I don't even remember who shared it. But the picture I saw, and the image, and I can't get it out of my mind. This world is so evil. There's so many things going on in our world, and it seems like the devil is running rampant. There's suffering, there's hurt, there's pain. And you know, we blame the devil, but the devil can't do anything. It's the devil working through people. He has to have people to work through, and he is absolutely working through people that allow him to on this earth right now. And they're doing some horrible things to innocents, to babies. And it breaks my heart. Oh my goodness. God, be merciful. You know, it was time for our prayer time. My husband was sitting in the recliner, and I said, actually it was past time. And I said, are you ready to pray? And he said, yes. And so we turned everything off except our worship music. And I just began to pour my heart out to God. And the tears were flowing. And I didn't even really know how to pray or what to pray. And I just said, oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. And I pray for our country. Pray for our president. He's coming up against such evil that they're doing everything in their power to destroy our president. That's not him really that they hate. It's us that they hate. It's the good in us that they hate. It's the God in us that they hate, that the devil hates. This is a battle between good and evil. It's not between Democrat and Republican. It's not between the men's movement and the women's movement. It's not the whites against the black race. It's not the U.S. against China. That's what it looks like. That's what the devil wants you to think. Because that's what it looks like in the natural with the human eyes. No, it's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle for your soul. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his mission. That's what he wants to do. Okay, that scripture that I just referred to, I believe it's in John 10:10. Let me go there just real quick here and read that to you, because this is the devil's mission. He has the spirit of Antichrist. Everything that Jesus Christ came to do, he tries to destroy. And he comes against everything good that our Father has done and wills for our lives, that Jesus has done for us. He comes against that. He hates us. He's jealous of us because he knows that he can never win. He's lost. He's doomed. And he knows that we can have life and have life abundantly. But right here in John 10:10, yes, I was correct. It is John, the book of John 10. Chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, this is what Jesus came. He says, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Okay, totally opposite right there. The devil is the thief. That means that we have something he wants. You've got something he wants, and he wants to, and it says he comes for no other reason. There's no good in him, nothing good in him at all. The thief cometh not but for to steal. He wants to steal what you got. He wants to kill what you have. And he wants to totally destroy what you have. And when I think about the drugs, how people get deceived and they take drugs and they get hooked on the drugs. Not only prescription drugs, street drugs, alcohol's a drug, cigarettes a drug. People become addicted to these things and they think they have to have them. Their body cries out for them because they get addicted. And I'm not denying that happens. The flesh gets addicted and craves that drug. I actually heard a testimony of a man in New York City that thankfully he found the Lord, but he said that he was on, I don't know if it was cocaine or what it was, he was on some drug. He would get off of it for a while and he would actually hear it calling his name and he would go out until he found that drug and he would take it. But thankfully he stumbled into a church in New York City that lifts up the name of Jesus. And he found Jesus, and Jesus took that craving away from him, that addiction away from him. So God, right there is a good example of the thief was stealing from him, stole his life. All he did was roam the streets looking for this drug. He left his wife, his children. She told him, she said, I can't take it anymore. You're going to have to leave. The home was a mess, and so he left. He craved the drug more than he loved his wife and his children. So he went out seeking this drug and he lived only for that drug. So the thief came and stole his marriage, his wife, his children from him, his home. He was wandering the streets. He was living on the streets. Stole everything from him. And that drug would eventually kill him and destroy him. And that's what the devil was doing, was wanting to destroy him. But thank God, Jesus came. He invited Jesus into his life and he found life. The devil brings death and destruction. Jesus brings life, and not only life, but life more abundantly. Praise God. And in that next verse, I want to go ahead and read it. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you and me. Other world religions say you have to give to their God, whatever that God may be. There's so many gods, you know, in our world that people worship. And they have to do things for their God. They have to beat themselves for their God, or they have to sacrifice for their God, or they have to do this for their God. We don't sacrifice for Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our God. We don't have to sacrifice anything for him. He sacrificed for us. He willingly laid down his life for the sheep, for his sheep. He sacrificed his life. The only sacrifice we make is giving our life to him, which is no sacrifice, because we don't have life without him. We give him our life. We give him our heart. We give him our soul, our body, soul, and mind. We worship him. That's the only sacrifice. And it's not a sacrifice. It's a joy. It's a joy to serve him. It's wonderful. Oh, he's so good. Hallelujah. I want to skip up to verse 9. I want to go back to John 10 and 9 above there. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice that he doesn't keep you as a prisoner. He says, I'm the door. I'm the way. I'm the way into to eternal life, to happiness, to joy, to that abundant life. I'm the door. I'm the way that you get this abundant life. And he says, if any man, it doesn't matter, and that means woman too, because we're all of the human race. We're all from Adam. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We all came from Adam and Eve. I don't care what color your skin, what language you speak, what country you live in. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care what you are. We are related. We're human. We're humankind. We're the human beings. We all descended from Adam. He says, I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's no stipulation there. It doesn't say if you're rich. It doesn't say that you have to be a man. It doesn't say that you have to live in the United States of America. It says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Excuse me. He shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. We'll be like that sheep, just going in and out. We can go out and eat the green grass and lay down by the cool rivers, enjoy the sunshine. He doesn't make us a prisoner. In fact, he gives us freedom. It's the only freedom, true freedom you will ever have is in Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He loves us. He laid down his life for his sheep. I just want to go back to our situation today. It just looks so bleak, doesn't it, in the world with this COVID-19. And you know, it just really makes me angry. It really makes me angry what the devil's doing to the people all over the world. We're all suffering. We all need Jesus Christ. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. I believe it's Romans 3:23 tells us we've all sinned and come short. Not because we actually sin ourselves. I mean, we do sin, but what I'm trying to say, Adam sinned, and because of his sin, he passed it on to everybody that's born. So we all sin and have come short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus, and he died for all of us. We will find no happiness without him. We will not have life. I don't care if you've got billions and trillions of dollars. I don't care how much wealth you've got in the bank. I don't care how beautiful you might look. I don't care what big mansion you live in. I don't care what you've got. You don't have anything if you don't have Jesus Christ. I don't care if you sold 1 million records. I don't care if you've got the top number one song in the nation. Who cares? What is that? What does that mean? That's nothing. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. Nothing. You have nothing without Jesus. Yes, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then Romans 6:23, let me read that. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what sin pays? The wages of sin? The final result of sin is death. It leads to death. Sin leads to death. Without Jesus Christ, we die. In him, we live forever in his kingdom. And he is coming again. He is coming again. Praise God. And we'll soon be out of here. All this is coming to an end. And God's raising up an army today. He's raising up an army. Yes, I was praying. I'm going to go back. I'm skipping back and forth. I hope you can follow me and get something out of this. But I was praying this morning in the Holy Spirit because, like I said, I felt a heaviness and a burden in my soul for the condition of our nation, for the lost souls of men. And I don't know, I didn't know exactly how to pray. I just so burdened for our nation, for the world, for people all over the world, for our city, for our youth. I pray for our youth today. And I pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, of fire and anointing on the youth in our country, that he will rise up, that they will rise up and speak up, and they'll quit being deceived by these drugs and this music that's lulled them to sleep, so that it's just like a drug. The music's like a drug, but the drugs, you know, are just putting them asleep they don't know what's going on. They have no hope. They're at a dead end. And I pray, Lord, send us a mighty revival, a great awakening in our nation and all over the world. And I pray you light a fire that will spread through all of our nation, through all of our, through our whole world, and that people will wake up. Some of us are waking up. Some have woke up to the truth. Some are waking up, and we need to shake others to, hey, wake up. Wake up, America. Wake up, world. Jesus is coming. You've got to get ready. The harvest is great. And the labors are few. I pray that you will wake up. I hope that you are awake today, that you see what's going on. You're praying, that you're interceding for our country. And I just pray for our nation. I was reading Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and it was ironically, it was on the sins of the people. And sin is abundant. And he says in Malachi 3, in verse 11, he said, he'll rebuke the devourer for our sakes. He will rebuke the devourer. He's trying to devour us, kill us, the destroyer. You can call him the destroyer, the dragon, the serpent, the devil. He's trying to destroy our children, our marriages, our finances, our families, our country, our nation, our government, our president. It's no end. He just wants to destroy all of us. He's after us all. also reading Malachi 4 on the coming of the day of the Lord. It was on the coming of the day of the Lord. And he said, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." You know, God is our healer. He's the Son of Righteousness, and he is arising. He rises with healing in his wings. He can heal your soul. He can heal your body. He can heal your finances. He can heal your marriage. He can heal your children. He can heal us as a nation. But we've got to rise up, and we've got to go forth. And when we do that, preach the gospel, tell others about him. You know, he will bless us. We're blessed. Hallelujah. When we accept him as our healer and accept him as Lord, we will be blessed. It also, in verses 5 and 6, it talks at the end of chapter 4 there in Malachi, he talks of Elijah being sent to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers before the coming of the Lord. Amen. I believe there is a great awakening. I believe people are beginning to shake themselves. They're rising up. They're disturbed about what's going on in our nation, and they're praying. Some of you are praying in your closets of prayer, and you're interceding. Praise God, keep it up. Let's keep praying, people. You know, judgment day is coming, and judgment's going to come for those that are doing evil. Judgment is coming. I was praying in the Spirit, and this is what I believe the precious Holy Spirit of God said to me this morning. He's saying, "Listen to my voice. Hear the word of the Lord." He said, "My spirit is drawing my army unto me. They will be fearless and full of faith. They will not stagger at my promises, but will march forward into battle, fully armed with my praise and glory and the sword of righteousness in their right hand. And as the day grows darker, they will run into the battle with their swords lifted high, and the cry of Zion will they shout. And with the cry of Zion will they shout from their lips. The cry of Zion will they shout from their lips. I just see us going forth as a mighty army of God with our swords lifted in our right hand, crying a battle cry and running into the battle, fearless, not afraid, but full of faith to fight the enemy and bring him down. The strongholds are coming down, praise God. And the cry of Zion will they shout from their lips. The enemy will cower in fear, for the Lion of Judah, he's going to roar, for the Lion, the enemy will cower in fear, for the Lion of Judah will go forth and devour the enemy. He will be stopped in his tracks. He says, "I'm raising up my mighty army now, and I'm separating the wheat from the tares, and my holy ones will be undeniable in their stand for the faith. And they will stand out as the light of a candle in a darkened room. They will shine with my light and with my glory, and they will be my warriors. I am calling my army together and gathering them from the north, the south, the east, and west. They are awakening from sleep and will slumber no more. They hear the alarm and they know the lateness of the hour. They are arising. My army is arising. They will be ready to fight and to stand for me. Arise. Let us go forth into the battlefield. The time has come. Rise up and fight. For I'm with you, my army, my bride, and you shall be victorious." Now that's what the Holy Spirit said to me as I was interceding in prayer. My heart, as I said, was heavy. I was so burdened and crying that I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't even pray. All I could do was pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. And this is what came forth. This is what I believe the Holy Spirit was telling me. That he's raising up an army of intercessors, an army of fighters, an army full of faith, an army that's fearless and will rush into the battle. I just run into the battle. You know, we're ready. Here we are, just going forth victorious, and we will be victorious because King Jesus, he is Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then, ironically, I'm reading through the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. I read a chapter every day in the Old Testament, and then I read a chapter in the New Testament, and I read through the whole Bible, and then I just start over again, the Old and the New Testament, just reading all the way through the Bible. And I've read through the Bible, probably at least 7 times, 8 times maybe, I don't know, somewhere around there. And I'm just continuing to read through. And as I read through the Bible, there's things that open up to me. You know, I might have read that scripture. I've heard people say that, and it's so true of hundreds of times, but yet something new opens up to me in that scripture that I've read dozens of times. So my next scripture chapter to read was Revelations. I'm in the book of Revelations, and I was reading Revelations 20, and it was on the millennial reign. It's on the millennial reign. And I just put down, the battle lines are being drawn. That's what's happening right now. The battle lines are being drawn. The army of God is aligning. Satan's army is aligning. And we're going to clash. We're going to face off. But we know who's going to win. I mean, we know who's going to win. The only tears that I shed is for those that are going to be lost. I pray those that are lost will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they don't burn in hell forever and ever. We listened to a message last night of a preacher preaching on hell, and it was scary. It was so, so scary. Hell is a real place. And as he was preaching, I've not heard anybody preach on hell since I was a child. And this message was just, it just made me so afraid for the ones that don't know him. I pray that you will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the battle lines are being drawn. And I wrote down, I am on the Lord's side. I am a warrior princess in his great and mighty army. In verse 14, it says, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not written or not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I just thought it was so ironic that we just heard that message last night on hell. My heart was burdened this morning for those that are lost. And I saw an image that just really showed me the wickedness, the true wickedness that's in our world. Folks, it's operating. The devil's operating, but God is greater than any power. The devil has no power over God's army. He has no power over the believer. He is a defeated foe. And in verse 14, and right here, this is in Revelations, in verse 14, it says, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not written or not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Satan is in the lake of fire. He is in hell. He is the prince of this world, but we overcome him because the King of Kings lives inside of us. God lives inside of you and me. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and his finished work at Calvary and his blood that he shed on Calvary, then you're a believer. You've been made righteous, and you've been made the righteousness of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Okay, so hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for any human being. It is a place of torment. It's a place of everlasting torment, and it was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for you. Not for you, my friend, not for you. It was not prepared for you. Heaven is prepared for you and me. God, Jesus went back to heaven. He walked this earth. He walked this earth, born as a baby in Bethlehem, a virgin birth of the Virgin Mary. He walked this earth. He faced the temptations and trials that we face, and he overcame every one of them. He walked as a man, but he walked it as a perfect man. He walked it by the power of the Holy Ghost and in communion with God, his Father. He said, I only do what the Father tells me. He spent time in prayer. That's what we have to do. We have to follow his example, take up our cross and follow him. If Jesus had to pray, how much more do we need to pray and have to pray? But anyway, this is going to be the end result. The devil is going to be, death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And my prayer was, Lord, help me to tell the lost. That's what I'm trying to do on this podcast right now today, is tell the lost the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to go die and go to hell. Jesus is preparing a mansion for the believers, for those that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come to Jesus today. Cast yourself, fall down before him and repent and say, Lord, I believe in what you did at Calvary. I believe you did it for me, and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Oh, I pray that you will do that today. God bless you, and the army's rising up. Get in the army of God and have a blessed day today. I pray for you, and until next time, God bless.